Our scripture reading this morning is going to come from the Gospel of Mark. And I almost decided to read the whole chapter, but I thought, we had other things going on, and I can make my point without reading the whole thing. So I'm going to ask you to join me when we get to down to verses 24 through 37. But first, I kind of like to give you a little heads up of where we are in it. Mark is writing. And so Jesus and his disciples, they're leaving the temple. And in the first few verses, the disciples say, as Jesus was leaving the disciple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones and what a magnificent building." And then Jesus tells them the end is near. But he says to him in verse 2, he says, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone will be here, will be left one on another, and every one will be thrown down." And they kind of question this. And so not far from the temple was the Mount of Olives. So he went up on the Mount of Olives and he started teaching his disciples. And he started to let them know what was going to happen in the future. And he did this so they might have hope. So I want to read this part of hope. When we start in verse 24 of the 13th chapter of Mark. Jesus said, "But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the skies and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens." And now, learn to listen from the fig tree. "So as soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. But I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So be on guard, be alert. You do not know when this time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and he puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. And if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to get together, to worship together, to praise you. In this Advent season, we do thank you once again for the hope that you've given to us. Be with us this morning as we open your words and try to have a clear understanding of what it is you would have for our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. So when I thought about this thing, and everybody's going to giggle now because in Sunday school it was brought out, they say this is the way he always starts. It's when he thinks about something. That's when we all get in trouble. So when I first thought about this, I thought we really need to start with a good example, something to build from, right? So I found a story about a couple of pastors who went to a communication seminar, and on their way home, they were stopped alongside the road, and then they decide they're get out and they're going to hold up their signs. Well, the Baptist, he gets his sign out, says, "The end is near." And he holds this sign up for passersby to see. And then the Presbyterian pastor, he gets out and he's holding up, says, "Turn around. You're going the wrong way." Well, first car comes by.
He looks at these signs and he yells out his windows, "Why don't you guys get a job?" Well, on the way he goes, out and he's headed around the curve. And here comes a second car. This guy come by and he's looking at these signs. He says, "Don't you guys have a job, you religious freaks?" And he goes around the curve. And the two are kind of looking at one another. And all of a sudden they hear this crash. And a couple crashes happened. It's like one pastor looks at the other and says, "Don't you think we should have maybe put a different message on our signs, like bridge out?" So when I thought about this and I got studying this, I got looking at it, I'm thinking, the pastor's sign, the end is near. How do we see that? Do we see that as hopeful or as a hindrance? And I wanted to make certain that you weren't misled. It was kind of like Paul wrote to the First Corinthians. He told them he didn't want them to be misled. He didn't want them to be ignorant. In 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34, you can read that. So if you had a quick synopsis of this whole chapter, it's really about in the first verses, it tells us, Jesus tells us not to be alarmed. Then he says to be on your guard, stand firm, have hope, be alert, and watch. Watch, most of all, really got to me. I thought, what is it? What is it he wants us to do? What is it to have hope? What is it to be alert? And I thought, I better look these up in the dictionary to make sure I had the right definitions. So when I looked up hope, it said a whole bunch of things. I didn't even write them down in my notes. But we all kind of know what hope is, right? It's the anticipation of something good to happen. That's about to come. And then I looked it up in the scriptures. And you know, it's a funny thing in Joel, not John, but in Joel 3:16, we read, "The Lord is our hope." Now, how true is that? The Lord is our hope. Not going to be our hope, or soon to be our hope. The Lord is our hope. We have hope today. So then I got looked up to be alert. It means to wait on. Well, we all know what it is to wait on, right? We wait on somebody to come home. I don't know how many times I wait on Bonnie to come sit down and watch so I can keep the TV program going. I'm waiting for her to come. Or I'm waiting on her to cook supper. Or maybe she's waiting on me to do some chore for her. That's what it is to wait on someone, right? Well, you have to stay alert if you're going to wait on somebody. Otherwise, they're going to get quite aggravated. We need to wait on people. We need to wait on each other to wait on our hope to come. But then I got to watch. What is it? What is it to watch? What it, to be ready to watch, to stand watch? And the more I thought about it, I thought, okay, I know what it is to stand watch, because when I went into boot camp, they spent 9 weeks training us how to get stand watch. It wasn't pretty. And they gave us a whole bunch of rules about how you stand watch on board ship. So I started writing down the rules and some of the things that they taught us and what current rules are for anybody who's going to stand watch on a ship. And the first rule was to get rest. Now, in boot camp, they don't give you much opportunity to take a nap, to get rest, because it's recommended that you get about 20 minutes rest before your nap. And if it's going to be a late night one, the early morning one, they tell you, make sure you hit the sack early and get lots of rest so you're wide awake for your watch so you can be alert, so you can wait on a situation. And then I got thinking about that. It says, so how do we relate this? And then deer season starts. Last Saturday, it didn't, rifle season. If any of you happened to go hunting last Saturday, or many probably are out hunting today. And I got to thinking about that deer camp story. You know that one where there is four guys who decide to go to deer camp and they're going to stay 3 or 4 days. But one of the guys named Rocky, he was a real snorer. Ah, he would snore terrible. So they all decided the other guys would all take turns. So the first night comes, and one guy, he's tenting up with Rocky. Comes morning time, Rocky comes out, oh, he's wide awake, he's feeling good, and the other guy who was supposed to, who had the opportunity to spend the night in there, he comes out, his eyes are bloodshot, he's looking bad, his hair standing straight up, he's not doing too well. And they ask him, what happened to you? He says, well, he snorts aloud all night, kept me awake. I just couldn't get a wink of sleep. I ended up watching him all night. So, but I'm glad my night's over. So the next night comes, one of the other fellows comes in there, and he spends the night. Same thing happens. They get up in the morning, and Rocky, he's all refreshed and ready to go, but the poor guy who spent the night, he listened to this snoring. He just could not get to sleep. Eyes bloodshot. It's going to be a long day. Well, come the third night, it was Fred's turn. Well, Fred, he was kind of a man's man. Bulky type guy, you know, he's one of them old dirt cowboys. It's like, nothing's going to get the best of me. And so, they goes in. Fred heads in with Rocky and that night. And they don't hear much going on. Everybody gets a good night's sleep. Comes out in the morning. Fred comes out all fresh and vigorous. And Rocky comes out. His eyes are bloodshot. His hair standing up. And the guys are looking at Fred. And he says, Fred, what did you do? He says, I was very nice to him. Went in there. I tucked him in bed. Kissed him goodnight. And I laid down and went to sleep. You know, we have to be smart enough to get our rest when we have the opportunity. First rule of standing watch, you gotta have your rest. You can't be tired all the time. God wants us all to be well rested while we stand watch, waiting on his return. So the second rule to stand and watch is you gotta wear the right gear. So there's an old saying, so there's never bad weather, there's only bad gear. So I remember many nights in the Navy, we'd stand out on watch and the winds would kick up, the waves could kick up. We always made sure that we had the right gear for the weather. Makes it a whole lot nicer. How many of you gone out in the middle of a winter and not had the right boots on you? End up with your feet froze or your gloves were wet. You didn't take the time to get a dry pair. Your hands are pretty. You got to have the right gear. It's the same thing when we're standing watch for Christ. As we're standing watch in this Advent season, we're standing watch over our hope. We have to have his word, don't we? We have to be able to make sure we have the right gear on. And the only way we can do that is through his word. Paul tells us, let me read what Paul said. He said, Ephesians 6:11. This is how Paul geared himself. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. Think about that. Paul knew that he was standing watch. He had to put on the full armor. Rule number three, this is the hard one. It's follow the skipper's follow the skipper's SOPs. Who knows what an SOP is? Anybody? Absolutely. Amen. I like it. So we got to follow the skipper's SOP. Well, if you're on board ship, what does that really mean? That means, so that's whatever standing rules are applied at the time, you have to make sure that you report to the skipper. If anything goes wrong, you have to take it to the skipper. Right? You have to make sure that you're doing the skipper's will, isn't it? Isn't that what it's really about? So when we're standing watch, what are we supposed to do? Stand watch, we're supposed to do God's will. What it would be that he would want us to do. Kind of like the old story of the pastor sitting on his porch. And one of his parishioners coming by is leading a horse. And he yells up and says, "Hey, John, where are you going with that horse?" And he says, John yells back, "I'm taking it to sell." And the pastor says, "Why are you doing that?" He says, "Well, that's the reason I bred it. That's why I could sell it." He said, "Well, you probably shouldn't just say I'm taking a horse to sell it." He says, "Why not? I got a buyer already. It's all good." He says, "Really, you should say, I'm going to take the horse to sell if it's God's will." He says, "Well, God's got nothing to do with it. I already know this deal is done. I just got to take him to the market." "Okay, I'll be praying for you," said the pastor. And so John goes on his way leading his horse. Next thing you know, here comes a storm. Well, the storm comes up, spooks the horse, and the horse runs off into the field. And John's going out after him. Probably Emily can attest to chasing animals. She's pretty good at chasing critters nowadays. Nothing went right. Horse goes through the fence. Next thing you know, they're on some grumpy landowner's property. And the landowner gets out his gun. He starts shooting, and actually, that's the end of the horse. Horse is done. He kills the horse. Man runs off. Of course, now he's got to turn around and come home. He's coming home, and he's all scratched up and looking battered. The pastor yells at him. He says, "What happened to you? Where's the sale of the horse?" And he explains what went on. And he says, so what are you going to do now?" He says, "Well, I'm going to go home if it's God's will." Sometimes we ask too late. We don't follow the SOPs, the standard operating procedures. And where do we find them? Well, we find them in His Word. We find them in prayer and in meditation. Rule number 4, scan the horizon. How do we scan beyond? If you're on a ship and you've got your binoculars out there, scan the horizon, you're actually looking beneath the stars and over the horizon. It's in between is what you want to be watching to see what's coming. So you have make sure that you have your eyes open to what's going on around us in the world. Too many times I think we close our eyes. We don't really get the big picture. We don't see what's going to happen. In this season, especially in all that's going on around us in the world, we need to make sure that we have our eyes open as we can see the truth, because we know the truth is from God's Word. We know we can do His will through prayer. We have to make sure that rule number 5, in standing watch, is check your course. You know, the compass always points us in the right direction. Where is your compass? What's your compass? Is our church, is our belief, is our faith your compass now? Because that's what we have to guide us. That's how God guides us, is through our study, through Sunday school, through our church, and through our worship services. That's how we know we're on the right course, is when we gather together in His name and have the hope. And I think most of all, anytime we stand to watch, the watch comes to an end. And when it comes to an end, we need to pass on our knowledge. Think about this. So when you're done standing and watch, if somebody else were to come up on deck when I was in the Navy, you would tell them, you know, how the winds were, make sure that you were on the course. This is the direction we're following. And make sure that you alarm the skipper if anything bad were to happen or if any changes have occurred. And you would pass it on to them, but the main thing was to make sure that it was plain and clear so that they had a good understanding of it. And I think when we leave here today, when we leave our homes and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, we want to make sure that those around us know what the truth is. How are the watches going? How to stand watch. The only way we can stand watch, especially during this Advent season, during these times and this pandemic and all the other stuff that's going around in the world, is to make sure that we're rested. Make sure we have on the right gear. We have on that full armor of God. And we follow the skipper's SOPs. Scan the horizon. Check your course. Make sure you pass on your knowledge. Because it's only by passing on our knowledge to others, Christ and salvation and the hope that we have. And what is our hope? Joel 3:16. The hope is our Lord. He is our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to come to share and just to be on watch. Help us as we stand watch that we are alert, that we stand firm, and that we stand still and remain entrusting to you in our faith and in our beliefs. Father, guide us today in all things, we do pray, through Jesus your Son, who is our hope. Amen.